government has denounced the book and its author by name. In the summer of 2005, two independent bookshops in Russia were burned down after stocking the newly available Russian translation of Sharp's pamphlet on their shelves. "I still keep a half-burned copy on a shelf in my office," one opposition leader told the Wall Street Journal. Particularly after the Arab Spring, Sharp's renown has grown. He was the subject of a feature documentary entitled How to Start a Revolution, released just as the Occupy movement was taking shape in 2011. The conversion that Sharp underwent not long after his stint as a draft resister, the epiphany that would guide his later research and teaching, revolved around a simple idea: that nonviolence should not be simply a moral code for a small group of true believers to live by. Rather, Sharp came to argue that nonviolent conflict should be understood as a political approach that can be employed strategically, something that social movements can choose because it provides an effective avenue for leveraging change. Out of this principle has emerged the modern study of civil resistance, devoted to understanding how unarmed social movements are able to stage uprisings of dramatic consequence. The conversion experienced by Sharp was a consequential one. Yet it is not altogether uncommon within the history of nonviolent social movements. Over the past century, many great innovators have arrived at the same conclusion: nonviolence must be wedded to strategic mass action if it is to have true force in the world. Martin Luther King Jr., born within a year of Sharp in the late 1920s, was one of those innovators. In King's case, it would take years of political evolution to fully appreciate the use of nonviolent conflict as a means of political struggle and to commit to schemes such as Project C. But in the end, it was his mastery of this technique, not merely his personal courage or spiritual conviction, that would secure his place in American history. Gene Sharp spent the first years of his political life immersed in a mainstream current of the pacifist tradition, and he has spent much of the rest of his career declaring independence from it. Upon his release from prison in 1954, Sharp worked briefly as an assistant to prominent radical pacifist A.J. Must. He then contributed to the weekly publication Peace News in England before moving to Oslo and researching how teachers during World War II successfully used nonviolent tactics to resist the imposition of fascist schooling in Norway. His investigations into nonviolence would ultimately lead to a doctorate at Oxford and to a 900-page treatise called The Politics of Nonviolent Action, published in 1973. Widely regarded as a classic, the work remains in print and is available in a 3-volume edition. By the time he had published this work, Sharp had begun to distance himself from the peace groups with which he used to associate. Pacifism, moral opposition to war and violence, has existed for hundreds, if not thousands, of years and can trace its roots to the core texts of major world religions. These roots continued to show in Sharp's time as a young researcher. Proponents of nonviolence regularly emphasized its moral and spiritual dimensions. In the 1950s and 1960s, Sharp found himself veering in a different direction. Reading through old newspaper coverage of Gandhi's 1930 resistance campaign in India, he made a troubling discovery, one that he considered omitting from his writing. He found evidence that most participants in that Satyagraha, as Gandhi called the campaign of defiance, did not embrace nonviolence out of a sense of moral commitment. Instead, they chose to employ nonviolent struggle because they believed it worked. The discovery was troubling for Sharp because it contradicted the cherished convictions of many people he knew, adherents to what is now known as principled nonviolence, who believed that the practice requires deep ethical resolve. As Sharp explained in a 2003 interview, he puzzled over what to do. "I wondered, should I put that down? Better just leave it out. But I put it down, and later it dawned on me that rather than that being a threat, it was a great opportunity, because it meant that large numbers of people who would never believe in ethical or religious nonviolence